Good evening and welcome, dear ones. Your presence is indeed a blessing for me, for each one of us. And we come together with intention to take our place, to rest at the center of a circle of great intention, to listen deeply, and to engage in a conscious exchange. May our work be food for lifting the consciousness of our world. And our work in our evening tonight is dedicated to our beloved companion, Deborah Jean Harding, who is in the process of making her transition into another realm of existence. One can only wonder about her work and what she is working on now. But I know in my heart that it is for the benefit for all of us. So we include her in our circle. In the name of the Father and of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. So we're continuing in this season of Eastertide, wherein we're endeavoring to understand what the meaning of resurrected life, embodied resurrected life, might look like. Well, we're choosing to approach it at this time from the point of view of three-centered being. And for our opening reflection, we will again turn to Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. This reflection was spoken last evening in the Christophany class, and it seems to speak quite eloquently and simply the essence of what we are embarking on in this section of our curriculum. Teilhard says, "It is the attraction of the whole that has set everything in motion for me, has animated and given organic form to everything. It is because I feel the whole and love it passionately that I believe in the primacy of being. Nothing in the world is intelligible except in and starting from the whole. I feel the whole and love it passionately." May that be so for us, or become so for us. Aware now that our prosana, our being bodies, encompasses dimensions visible and invisible. That is the heights and the depths, the widths and the lengths. States of awareness and non-awareness, we prepare ourselves to be gathered, to be aware, to be fully present. Each of us is here at this particular place and at this time for his or her own particular reason. What each of us brings matters. How we come matters. How we participate matters, for that is what we're emanating to the group, and what the group then emanates out into the world. So now we place ourselves, center ourselves once again in a place of imminent trust and receptivity to the influences pouring forth from the conscious circle of humanity. And we wish to receive them, to take in these high influences with valuation and digest them. We are in attention with back upright, still and contained, residing in our own atmosphere, not entangled in the world without. We scan our bodies, particularly noticing the small muscles of the face, becoming aware of any tension, letting all of this go, all constriction, present. We breathe in deeply, all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything, everything that passed through us this day, our world today, everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that left us feeling powerless, separate, less than, more than. Everything, everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy and hope, all affirming, all denying, and we hold it as offering, reconciled as food for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over complexities. I hand over plans. I hand over anxieties and small fears of my heart. I yield to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. My dear ones in Christ. And so it is. Now, in this state of recollection, we prepare to enter into the prayer and reflection of Lectio Divina. And once again, our passage will be read three times with a silent pause between each reading. We're invited to take it in, to receive it and see what comes to meet us. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Opening the real inner heart as people who relate to the world and others in conscious relationship with compassion, not as a sentimental act, but a permanent state of insight with a new feeling of I. Manifesting equanimity, enjoying and sharing three-centered love in conscious, life-giving ways, Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Opening the real inner heart as people who relate to the world and others in conscious relationship with compassion, not a sentimental act, but a permanent state of insight with a new feeling of I. Manifesting equanimity, enjoying and sharing three-centered love in conscious, life-giving ways. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Opening the real inner heart as people who relate to the world and others in conscious relationship with compassion, not a sentimental act, but a permanent state of insight with a new feeling of I. Manifesting equanimity, enjoying and sharing three-centered love and conscious, life-giving ways. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so it is. So I invite you to share what you received from this passage, or perhaps the image, and bless us with the sharing. Perhaps someone who has never shared before, or hasn't in a very long time. And you can step forth into the light and take your place, and we will rejoice in your presence. Jim Motes. Wonderful. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Marianne. Thank you so much. I've pondered this passage for many years and always desired to be able to be in that space, but also felt overwhelmed by it. Like it was beyond a capacity that I had. And as we were listening to it this time, I realized that I was trying to operationalize it through my personality in the past. And I was expecting that thinking about it would bring it about. But tonight, what struck me is that there is so much inside of that passage that it really is about self-remembering. Mm. And that's where the spaciousness is for all of that to come about in a mysterious way. So I appreciate so much you sharing that.
Oh, well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate your sharing. It opens up the passage in a new and wonderful way. Thank you. Pam Rossman, good to see you, Pam.
There we go. Good to see everybody whom I've seen on my little shortcut thing. Jim's share really helped me to understand what I was experiencing when I was looking at the image. And while you were reading, I'm looking at the image and I'm trying to imitate how the hands are. Which hand is it, like this? And then the hand on the cheek. And then pretty soon I could feel, without even touching, I could feel the hand on my cheek, and I could be the one that's here and be the one that's here. And it is a self-remembered experience. And I just want to express my gratitude for our continued efforts to land things in the body. It's speaking to parts that could not be touched by the words. It was too big, like Jim was saying. It was too much wanting to be processed by the mind. The image drew me in. It's a wonderful
experience. Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much. Cynthia, Welcome.
Hi, everybody. I just had to speak up when you started reading that because of that scripture, you should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Yes.
Added, and your neighbor as yourself, has been a mantra that I picked up about maybe over a year ago. And so I recite it like a mantra. It's a little long, but I do use it all the time. I use it to quiet my thoughts. I use it just in the day when I'm thinking. And there was one aspect of that mantra of love with all your strength that I just didn't really understand, how to love God with all my strength. And I feel like that it is amazing. I guess you could say I made it a wish or an aim, that I feel the transformation. I feel that, you know, you don't notice it all at once, but you notice it gradually, things coming to you. And there's a newfound, incredibly deep love that is just, you know, seems to be growing and vibrating inside of me. I know, of course, I have more to go. It's not always that way, but there's newness there, like it said, a new feeling of I. Mm-hmm. All encompassing. And at some moments I'll think, whoa, how that was different. And I can remember that I have been praying for that type of love. And so I'm grateful. And the image too, like Pam was saying, somehow in praying that, it's praying it for my heart to open up, for me to be less, for God to be all. Mm. And for me to give that, somehow it's coming back unto me. And so that mother, that Mary holding that person, I can feel the movement of being that mother and also receiving that from the mother. Mm. So thank you.
How wondrous. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark, Frankie, welcome, Mark.
hi. The prayer of my heart that came is that I wish to place myself under the influence of my Lord and my God. This God that is almighty, the God that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It separated the land from the sea. Populated this earth, populated this universe, but also this God that manifests as love in my life, that I know through love, and that is the love and is the part of me that desires to know God. It's so intimate and so powerful.
Yes.
But I wish to know, I wish to be under that influence.
Yes, may it be so, Mark. Thank you. And we'll ask Catherine and then Susan, and then we'll close with this part of our evening. Catherine.
Hi there. What stood out for me was the new feeling of I, and that insight of conscious love. It strikes me that it's the feeling of I is that I would wish to feel that would be new to my being, would be the feeling of we, the wholeness of everyone. And so that feeling of I would be less about any small I in myself, but more about that sort of universal I or universal Christ. That would be the feeling of we and wholeness. That's how I heard that too.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. And Susan, welcome. Shanti.
I heard love does not rejoice in wrongdoings. And for me, that means no longer keeping accounts, externally considering. And it says, but rejoices in truth. And I use that thought to, even if I'm considering harboring an uncharitable thought or violence against another, that I can refer back to the saying, I have a right not to be negative, and the multiplicity of man.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Susan. And somehow I am, by all of these sharings and our time, my sense is that we are in this space of boundless love in a very real and palpable way. So thank you for your presence and all of your sharings, those spoken and the many that are not spoken but are still there. Amen. And now it is my special delight to welcome Mimi Conroy, who will lead us this evening into the exploration of three-centered love. Good evening and welcome, Mimi.
I've unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, good evening. This work that we endlessly speak about is love. Pure love. Talks about difficult things, but is love. And the beautiful way that Maurice Nickell holds us as his students. The commentaries that we read from were his classes, were his Thursday night. And they have come to us here in 2022 and are so relevant today. The commentary that I'm going to read tonight is from book number 2. And, you know, just my recommendation is to listen, observe, re-aim, all the things that we do to observe ourselves through myth, through parable. This is the myth of the work, as far as I'm concerned. And it is going to give us, as a school, a new way to speak about our three centers. So having said that, this commentary is coming to us and was given July 1st, 1944. All right, so I just want you to imagine just for a moment that the World War II would end in 1945. Gurdjieff's groups, Ouspensky's groups, Nickell's groups had to move quite frequently because of the war. And they are in Birdlip, which is Gloucester, the beautiful, beautiful part of England in the country. And Maurice Nickell and the groups would have a house that people could also stay in, and they would have their group meetings there. So 1944, war is going on. 2022, war is going on. And so from our beloved uncle, and listen to this as if your beloved uncle was reading you this story. Maurice Nickell, the parable of the horse, carriage, and the driver. One of the many ways in which the work illustrates the position of man is found in the parable of the horse, carriage, and driver. In this parable or correspondence, man in his ordinary state is compared with a horse, carriage, and a driver in the following way. As man is, according to this parable, the driver who should be on the box and controlling the horse and carriage is drinking in a public house and spending nearly all his money there. The driver is not on the box because he's drunk. And as a result, the horse gets little or no food and is in a bad condition. And the carriage is in a bad state and needs repairs. The first thing that is necessary is that the driver should wake up from his sleep and begin to think of his situation. Have you ever thought what the public house is and what the drink is and what the drunkenness is? Now, suppose he does awaken to a certain extent and leaves his pictures and his illusions about himself a little and begins to think of his situation. He must leave the public house, and then he will begin to see the condition of the horse and carriage. The horse is starving, and the carriage is in very bad condition. He notices that the horse is not properly harnessed to the carriage, and that there are no reins between the horse and the box. That is, nothing to communicate between the driver and the horse. Let us take only this part of the parable, that there are no reins. Obviously, it would be useless for the driver to get on the box unless the reins were present. Perhaps you know by now that you have no reins between the intellectual center and the emotional center. In this parable, the horse represents the emotional center, and the driver represents the mind. There is no proper connection between the thoughts and the emotions. We may mentally think and decide to behave in a certain way, for instance, not to lose our temper, but when the actual situation arises, we find our thoughts have no control of our feelings. That is, no control of the horse. In the parable, this means we have no reins between the driver and the horse. I am assuming the driver is on the box. It is not true that we decide mentally that we will not allow ourselves to behave in a certain way and fail. For what usually happens, we cannot control the horse. The horse behaves independently of what the mind has decided upon. You may, for instance, decide to be very brave in the presence of danger. A bomb bursts and you find yourself unable to control the horse. You begin to shake all over and so on. This is because there are no reins connecting the driver with the horse. The trouble is that the driver and the horse speak different language. The horse, that is the emotional center, does not understand the words of the driver, that is the intellectual center. I remember how often Gurdjieff used to speak of the reins, that is the way of connecting the driver with the horse. What language does the emotional center use? It uses the language of visual imagery. The emotional center does not know any intellectual words or theories, but it understands visual images. For instance, if you are in danger and feel nervous, and you meet a man who is visibly quiet, it helps the horse, that is the emotional center. The calm man is a visual image, and this affects the horse and calms him. From one side, then, the emotional center is governed through the language of visual imagery. How can the driver connect with emotional center? You understand it is not enough to have thoughts alone, because the emotional center or horse does not understand these thoughts, which usually take the form of words. I mean that ordinary thinking takes the form of language, words such as, I will be brave, or I will not mind what he or she says. So you begin to see that these reins that connect the driver with the horse are interesting things, and the reason why Gurdjieff often used to talk of them. Now, suppose you are up against some situation that can easily make you negative. You say to yourself, I will not be negative, or I will not react to this situation. And you may use many phrases like that in the mind, that is, the driver. And yet, when the situation arises, the horse gets out of control. I remember Gurdjieff saying that on one occasion in France, horse he not understand what driver says. That is to say, there are no reins passing from the driver to the horse. The driver does not know how to control the horse. He thinks he can control it himself by arranging his thoughts in a certain way. The horse does not know this language. It does not receive the messages. In fact, the horse does not know the decisions of the driver. And if the driver knows nothing about the horse and how to approach this horse and tell it things, then he is exactly as if he is in the position of a person on the box who has no reins to control the horse. How can the horse understand the language of the driver? Whether the driver speaks and thinks in English or French and German, or Hindustani, that horse does not know any such verbal language or thoughts. I suppose all of you have noticed this, that you have no reins between your thoughts and your feelings. I was talking to someone the other day who has been in the work a long time. And this person said it was so interesting to think of these reins that connect the driver and the horse, and how obvious it was from self-observation that there was no connection. And this remark reminded me of many things said in the past. It also reminded me how easily we accept some parable of the work, some teaching, and never think deeply of what it means. I would like to remind you what has been said many times in the past, that the work is seeing more and more deeply what has already been heard. People understand the work superficially. For instance, that you must observe your negative emotions, but what a long time it takes to do this. All development, all inner evolution depends on the seeing more and more deeply what we at present see on the surface. So people hear about the horse and carriage and driver, and also hear there are no reins between the driver and the horse, and just take it as a statement. People may say, for example, why don't you know the parable of the horse, carriage, and driver already? Don't you know there are no reins? Yes, but have you ever thought what that means? Now, you must understand that we are not talking about the waking up of the driver in this conversation. I am talking about the driver who has wakened up a little and is no longer in the public house. I am speaking of people who have got a little beyond sleep, vanity, and pictures of themselves. People who have seen through a little of their false personality. People who have begun to see that they're not in the least like what they thought they were. What does this mean, this first stage of waking up from drunkenness? After a time in this work, it is possible to see the people who are faster asleep than you are, people who are more drunk than you are, drunk with their own importance, their own negative states, drunk with the idea that they can do everything, etc. As I said, I'm not talking of such people I'm sorry, I'm not talking of such people, for it is quite obvious that as long as a man or a woman thinks that there is nothing wrong with himself or herself, and that they are going to take this work as with, as something added to themselves, as they are, they will remain drunk in the public house. Of course, they will never think that they are in a public house or in a drunken condition. On the contrary, they will have wonderful ideas of themselves, namely, that they have will, and that they can do, and that they are efficient, and they know best, that they have real permanent eye, and the rest of it. Unless they have awakened up from these profound illusions and have begun to feel their own helplessness and nothingness, they will never be able to climb onto the box. We are speaking of people who have awakened up a little and are trying to sit on the box and control the horse and are not still completely drunk in the public house. Now let us reflect for a moment on one meaning of the connecting reins between the driver and the horse. I suppose each one of us who has gone far enough in the work begins to know a little of this connection. But I must assure you that it is no good for me to try to tell you exactly what this connection is. You all know this type of question. Will you tell me exactly what the reins are? It is often said that we have to pay for great knowledge by long work. When I meet a person who understands this and does not ask me, what exactly does self-remembering mean? What exactly is self-observation? What exactly is this work about? I know that he has begun to wake up from his drunken sleep in life, that is, in the public house. Then I know that this person is waking up from this terrible hypnotism that plays on mankind. Here is waking up from this terrible, here then we have somebody who is emerging from the public house, perhaps not very steady on his feet, but possibly capable of looking at his horse and carriage. He may climb up on the box and fall off, as we all do. And yet there is some understanding that this is what we have to do. And I can assure you that if you have reached this point, you are in the work. Of course, you often go back to the public house. Often you get so far on the box and fall off again. But you have already got an idea of what this work is about. And I would add, do not mind if you fall off the box very often, so long as you have something more in you that knows you are off the box and a real wish to get back. It is here that you have to work against negative emotions of a certain kind. The reins are not made between the driver and the horse, or rather, only wrong reins are made mechanically. The first state is actual sleep. The second state is the so-called waking state. To establish a right connection between the intellectual center and the emotional center, that is, between the driver and the horse, you must be able to, however limited an extent, to remember yourself and be in attention. Now, why does a parable exist? Why is the teaching in the Gospels in the form of parables? It is visual imagery. The horse understands visual language, the driver words, and the parable connects the two. Visual imagery is a universal language. It is the language of signs. The horse only understands a universal language of visual images. That is why you wish to control the horse from the mind. You must visualize and not merely think. One of the things we are taught in this work is visualization. You must visualize that you have thought of in regard to your own behavior to any particular person. Let me read that again. You must visualize what you have thought of in regard to your behavior to any particular person. That is, you must take that person into your visualization. To visualize a person is a form of external considering in the deepest sense. I would say visualizing another as yourself, visualizing his or her individual troubles as if you were yourself, that person, is the beginning of making reins between the driver and the horse. And this really means visualizing the other person. You cannot visualize a person in the right way if you are negative toward the person. You have heard that the emotional center is clairvoyant when it is purified of negative emotions. Now, you cannot visualize another person if you are doing it from duty. I would advise you very strongly not to attempt it. Visualization is a very quiet activity, a very quiet process. As a rule, you only get a quarter of the way and give up. You can only visualize another person rightly when you know something about yourself. We become human to one another when we know ourselves. As an exercise was given to us to visualize one another and to say to the person visualized, "What is your trouble?" And if rightly done, it was said that the person would tell you. That is, the image would speak to you. I can only say that I know this is possible, but very difficult. The purification of the emotional center is one of the tasks in the work. We have to handle one another far more gently internally than externally. I'm going to read that one more time. We have to handle one another far more gently internally than externally. Many things, some illnesses, headaches, sudden loss of force, begin to happen to us in a certain way, in a certain stage of the work. Many things, some illnesses, headaches, sudden loss of force begin to happen to us at a certain stage of this work if we treat one another wrongly. The work is a very pure thing and depends on inner purity. You all understand what it means to be pure by now. What is meant by purity? Purity is sincerity. I was much amused the other day to hear someone had talked very badly about the work, And then I was told that this person was furious with the person who told me about it. This is purity. So when you try to visualize someone else and it takes time to do so and is certainly not worth doing if you are not pure in this sense, you must remember that the whole of the work comes in at this point. You can help one another, but not without the work behind you. This visualization is the connection between the intellectual center and the emotional center. And if you have an aim to behave rightly towards somebody, you must visualize yourself behaving rightly and not merely think it. It is remarkable that a little pure visualization helps everyone and yourself. Merely thinking does not help enough, but is necessary. Mere talking is worse than anything, because by talking, you are often justifying yourself. You know how often you say, "Well, I'm going to do my best to help him. And I promise you, I won't say anything unpleasant. And then what happens? Well, observe it in yourself. You have merely fed your imagination and your vanity and done nothing to help the situation. You know, when a cat rubs himself against your leg, he is caressing, not you, but himself. Visualization is directed imagination, not a self-pleasurable imagination. Thank you for leaning into that. And I think at this time, before I say anything else, I'd like to see what your experience is. Or have you had any observations that might be useful to all of us? Hi, Troy.
Hi there. Thank you so much for that reading. If you can shed, I'm a newbie to the work. Mm-hmm. If you can shed some more light on the difference between visualization and imagination, that visualization is directed imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that imagination is a power. It's a faculty that we have. And it can be directed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say more about that, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
When I know about external considering, which is putting myself in the position of another without losing consciousness of myself, all right? There's a connection there. I may have a situation where, like Maurice said, you know, I'm not going to be negative. But I know that maybe I'll be tired and I could get snippy. And so I take into account what I have observed about myself and what I know about the personality or the different eyes. And all the while, I am remembering my feet on the floor and I place my tongue in the roof of my mouth and it completes a circuit below the head. And what we've learned through the trauma work, we just put the tongue a little further back and you can, you know, stroke the vagus, stimulate the vagus nerve. So I've completed a circuit that allows me as a head person, I'm a man number three, access to my emotional center. I have to feel my feet on the floor. I've got a presence of myself in the room right now. And then I connect with my head that's leading me through this. And something about both of those couches, the emotional center, and I can actually, whoa. So if in that state, I have a moment to visualize myself in a situation that I'm going into. Now I'm conscious, all right? When I'm conscious of myself, something permanent can happen. So I'm imagining myself working hard with this person, but I'm not going to allow my physical tiredness to let me get snippy. And so I'm sending a future memory in a way to that situation and my being from an embodied place. Can you feel that? So it's about stacking our centers. And what we know is that, you know, man number one is in the instinctual center in my belly and below. Man number two is in the field of emotion. Man number three is the intellectual center. So I've got all of these three beautiful brains that now, with being and connectedness and self-remembering, I can start to speak through rather than it. I'm tired and I got snippy because my instinctual center got a hold of me and just ran with it. Okay. So we just, it's like the Bowflex of consciousness to work out like this. We're constantly kind of moving around, making my body felt. You may be a body person or a heart person. So you will find a way. And I'll tell you right here, it took me, I can't remember how many years to figure out what the reins were. And when I figured it out, I was just, I mean, I think I probably ran to Tim, you know, and he's kind of like, well, okay, good, good. But what I learned on the way was priceless. That even just, I got to take care of my carriage. Oh, that poor horse. Oh, my poor emotional center. You can just feel that poor horse. It needs to be brushed and fed and, oh, yeah, you know. And so play with it like that, if that is helpful at all. Thank you, Troy. Cammy, hi.
Hi, thank you, Mimi. I had exactly the same question that Troy did. And so you answered it beautifully. And I guess I'll just add the comment that when I stay active in the work, it's kind of uncanny how synchronicities happen. Mm-hmm. I came to my work group this week with, you know, the homework was to do studying. And in my studying, I came to visualization and imagination. And I came to my work group with the question, I'm really stuck on this visualization and imagination piece. And then for you to break it open tonight, I just marvel at the things that can happen when we show up curious and ready and wanting to learn, and what we need to hear is heard. So Troy, thank you for asking that question. It was on my heart too. And I love the imagery. Speaking of the imagery, the cat rubbing against a leg. That totally makes sense. I could read a whole story about imagination and visualization, but that makes total sense to me.
Isn't it just, it's beautiful. And there's something that you touched on here, Cammy, that I would like to say here. And it's, I was taught in the work to come to the meetings with a question. And Tim would never tell us what he was going to be talking about. You know, and it's like, oh gosh, what if my question is stupid? Well, there are stupid questions. And what the work calls them is formatory, where it's just kind of like, oh, I just can't not ask this. Well, that's a formatory question for sure. So I loved what you said, that you came with a question and it was answered. So what if each one of us came with a question every Thursday night, every group, with my work partner, with just to live for the week? What's my question this week? That we can start to find deeper parts of ourselves. And something I'm going to go over before we close is, it talks to us about how this kind of work, and what we say in the work is we work for permanence. So this question of yours that was answered tonight,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, we've all been served by it. You can now delight in the fact that there's something going on here and somebody is running this and it's not us,
yeah.
Right? Because there's 150 people in here that have questions on their heart that have probably been answered, you know?
Yeah.
And so being part of this journey school, I would love to work with a bunch of people who came with a deep question, whether they asked it or not, and just were brave enough to live the question. Oh, so thank you, Cammie, for coming to work.
Thank you.
Max, hi.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
A couple things came up for me. What a wonderful overlay to the work we've been doing on in trauma and the focus on the mind and emotional centers seems very appropriate. Two things come up to me though in the reflection on the story tonight that you read. And that is that the body center, the physical center, seems to be directly connected to the emotions. And that is sort of a parallel go-to place for me to check in when the emotional state's confused, is to go to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that came up for me, which is new, was that self-remembering also includes we remembering. And it came up really clearly to me as you were describing the examples of the conversations, the different ways we can have conversation with another, with the internal versus external considering and all that. But part of self-remembering for me has become the we remembering as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Max. I thank you for bringing that up. We, that's beautiful. I've never thought about it that way. That's so beautiful. And it organically and beautifully came out of the sharing earlier. You know, it's so beautiful the way this happened. So another gift of self-remembering. Okay, everybody, this is a good one. So please listen. And it's short. Self-remembering is sensation. Oh, could it possibly be? Could that be self-remembering? Well, yeah. If I can find a sensation in myself, then I am anchored into a point where I can then observe myself and have a complete observation. Self-remembering is sensation. I experience pain in my body on a regular basis. And I don't take any pain medication at all. What I do is self-remember. And the pain is what calls me to self-remember. And the moment that I believe in self-remembering, like, oh, just those words. Whoever gave you such beautiful words that all we have to do is remember ourselves. And could it be as simple as being called to my body by some sensation that I experience every day? Yes. And what I've experienced is the pain goes away for a little bit. It may come back. I maybe stand up in my knee or this or that. But it's constant. So if you have pain in your body, I'm sorry, but it's kind of a good thing. It's helpful to call us into it, or we forget about the body. We forget about the old carriage there. And so, yes, self-remembering and we. Thank you, Max. Rachel. Hello.
Hi, everybody. I actually haven't heard this story read in full before, and so I appreciated you reading it out loud. And I'm a horse person, that number two.
Man number two.
And being brought into this community and this work, I was kicking and screaming. I was like when you were talking about the horse and being, you know, feeling so much, like specifically anger and rage and, you know, coming into centering prayer and finding that in my body, that sensation, and it being this negative emotion, my thinking brain judged it. And so here we go round and round in the cycle of the rage not being like, I couldn't get anywhere. And then when I began to self-remember and listened, okay, I'm not going to fight this and judge anymore, like using the welcoming prayer, listen to the rage. Where, what are you showing me? I'm not going to quiet you anymore. I'm going to pay attention. I heard and was taken down a path to extensive childhood abuse. And then once that was acknowledged within my system, like the reins connected from my horse to the driver, and my driver got the reason around, like behind it, mm-hmm. the rage has gone, has left. And then there's the grief. And now my wish is to be able to use this visualization with this person in my family. And I like that, to ask, what is your trouble? And really listen. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes,
I know her history. I've heard the story of her trauma, of her whatever trouble. And I'm there, but I wouldn't have been there until I finally mm-hmm. listened. So when you said, take the horse and go like this, I don't know. I appreciated that. And there's more balance of all three centers once that was unloaded. But denying it was the worst thing I could do, because I didn't want to be this angry person, especially being a contemplative. That doesn't well, go.
And you can kind of think of it now like, oops, fell off the box.
Yeah.
You know, all I got to do is climb back up. You know, this work, the only thing it ever says to us that could be of any consequence is that I'm sorry, you fell asleep. And when I know I've fallen asleep, I'm awake.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be any more gentle, people?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just observe our centers and the connection. And I know the Mimi. You know, like I was telling that story, when I get work physically hard and start to get tired, I get snippy. And my friends clocked me on it the other day. And I'm like, what? I'm not snippy. I was snippy. You know, and everything, you know, the work is life is our teacher in the work. We work everywhere. So thank you for your good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mimi.
Bonnie, hello.
Hi, my friend Mimi.
Hi there.
I'm wondering, I have a question, and I also have a wondering. This is relating to communicating as a thinking person. Communicating heart to heart without actually saying anything. And I'm thinking how strongly I was hoping when my mom was in the hospital and she wanted to go home and I wanted to go home, and I was really, I want to communicate with her and she couldn't talk. And I was thinking of all these ways. And then I saw her hand and I touched her hand, and there was an immediate heart to heart, and I could see her and I could feel her and know what it is. And I was communicating with the body and with the heart. So can you communicate heart to heart? Just without any of the other words, that it makes, it's kind of like a, just an it's a knowing what the other person is, what the other person is feeling. Like the same way if I can look at my dog, and I know what he's thinking, I know what he's feeling, and it's an immediate feeling. So can you communicate that way?
Holly, well, that's quite a question for a head person to ask another head person. And my experience is that my emotional center is a field. It has no boundaries. It reaches, I don't know how far. I act as if. Yeah. So if you have a question, am I connecting heart to heart? Start observing. Okay, so I need to be in my body, first of all, okay? Something that Cami had brought up that I want to mention here is that we often get locked into two-centered repetition, and they feed each other in a very, and most probably a negative, what I call a negative feedback loop. And my head will be telling a story about something it doesn't know anything about. And so when I have an eye that comes up and says, you know, you really, you know, have some psychological problems here, I will actually ask the eye when it went to medical school. And why does it think it knows something about what I can feel or not feel? They don't talk. If you find out that they can't really talk back, another eye might come up and answer for it. But this is seamlessly done in our psyche. And for us to be able to observe this, we have to be very stealth. Because as we know, when we observe something, it changes. So I have this kind of sidelong glance that I like to use to observe myself, okay? And so I'm using the word observe myself because a work student does not look, notice any of the ways we do it. We observe, okay? Now, the reason we use the word observe is because it is imbued with energy. And so our common language is that we observe ourselves. And so Bonnie, what I know about you is that you observe yourself. Mm-hmm. And if we know that our emotional center is a beautiful field, we might want to start enjoying that field. You know, we all wait way too long to reap the harvest on this stuff. Oh, we've all done work. It may be, you may be new to the work, but I imagine most people in this chat room or the cloud have done a lot of work to be sitting here today. Ah, yes, this is good. Now I observe myself. So Bonnie, that's it. It's nuts and bolts. It's the basics. I don't go traveling on my time body. I mean, I do from time to time, but it's observe, non-identify, and self-remember. Am I in my body? Do I have a sensation that I'm in the room right now? I might get some messages from above only if I'm present. So be present, observe, non-identify, and self-remember, and then kick it right back in if you lose it again.
So I could have observed it.
Absolutely.
And feel I did it. Feel it.
You know, it's with what we were talking about with Max. It's the imaginal realm that Cynthia Bruchel taught us about. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
And Miss Greta, hello, friend.
Hello, friend. What a joy it is to see you, Mimi.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
listening tonight, it really impressed upon me how important a three-centered being is to making a future memory. And your emphasis on the sensational really brought that together, because Tim has always said, think of the emotion. How are you feeling mm-hmm. when that thing happens. And we can visualize it and we can also think about it, but it's the grounding in the body. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Thank you so much for that. It's just, and I'm certainly one that likes to go off and get kind of, you know, high and mighty about things sometimes, but it's almost like, oh, I get messages, keep it simple, stupid. Observe, non-identify, and self-remember. And I'm a 37-year work student. And so, yes, and in community and with evenings like this and taking this parable in, we feed the work because the work lives here in every person that's in this cloud. And when you think about 1944, Maurice Nickell teaching people like us, and it's still happening today. And that is the conscious circle of humanity. And that's where we feel the accumulated work that feeds us. And we can call on in times of where I might not have the force I need. There's an accumulator here that all of our work is building. Pull yourself up to the table and feast. It's time. So thank you so much, Greta. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've got just a little bit more. Oh, wait. Hi, Catherine. No, get back there. Get back there. Okay. Hi.
Well, I was just going to say, I liked that you said to keep it simple, because I think if it was very, it can seem complicated and then you would end up not doing it.
Exactly.
And so I always go back to the basics because I need to keep things simple. And I also, to the self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember, because that sometimes the aims each week are a little out there and hard to grasp for me. So I always, if I can't grasp it, I just at least do that. And then also another thing I've been doing a lot more lately, I think, is just realizing that when I'm in a state or if I'm saying something, that it's an I.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple thing. It's like, wait a second, that's not me. That's an I here. So I just wanted to say, I appreciate you. Just keep it simple. I mean, we can be complex, but I always like to have the simple.
You know, as work students, life is our teacher. And I don't know about you guys, but I think life is enough without adding my own second force, right? Life provides me with many ways to awaken. Whether I do or not is up to me. And you know, having a deep wish, you know, I carried a question around with me for years, you know, just waiting for Tim to call on me, you know, because I'm so important, right? And it was pretty much like, you know, why am I here? Well, Tim didn't have to answer that question. I didn't have to ask Tim. It was me asking the work, why am I here? You know, the minute I met the work, I loved it. I loved it immediately. And what is that all about? Wow. That's basically what I want to get. I'm sorry, the experience I want to speak about tonight is living the deep question. How can I each week or each day by aim, by work with my work partner, you know, the first line of work is work on yourself. Second line of work is work with others. Third line is on behalf of the work. All right. So I can work in any number of ways. And it's simple. It's simple. I loved what Gay said. When did Gay say this? Oh, a time when I talked to her, Gay, I'm sorry. But Gay said every time she read a commentary, she has a book that she wrote something down out of each commentary that she wanted to remember. And after 30 some odd years, this is a pretty good book. Okay. Now, does she go back and read it? I'm sure she does from time to time, but I believe it was the engagement with the commentary and finding one thing in the commentary that woke her up. And so the engagement with this and struggle in your work groups to speak the language when you're telling people about what you've done. Well, I observed myself, or if I say, you know, I noticed the other day, and then I feel, wow, notice wasn't the right word, you know, self-remembering. Tim told us for years about this, like Greta said, I searched for self-remembering for years because I thought it was this magic thing. And then I find out it's sensation. We weren't ready for it till now, but now here we go. So thank you, Catherine, very much. Okay, so we'll finish with this. And I'll just read this. It'll explain it all. When we practice the work, we are trying to awaken to the third state of consciousness, which is above our ordinary state. The first state is characterized by self-awareness, consciousness of self, and self-remembering. We seek this state because it's closer to higher states of consciousness called the kingdom of heaven within, or the conscious circle of humanity, I will add, where we can receive its influence, help and light, meaning, illumination, and understanding can reach us in this third state, guide us to our destiny, and bring us into higher states of objective consciousness, which are permanent. Thank you for your attention, your questions, for being just part of this group. And we are brothers and sisters just walking each other home. So ask questions, be a fool for the work. I promise you. And most people will tell you that I took that one pretty seriously. And it was often very difficult for people. So, but it worked. Okay. It worked. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen, Mimi. I bow and am so grateful for you. What a wonderful evening with these treasures to embody. We have just a couple moments, and it has been a while. And I have just a little tidbit from Rodney Collin that feels right to speak at this moment, just as a little bedtime story, if you will. It's appropriate to the season of resurrection. Two men were going home when they met the master without recognizing him. He accompanied them on the road and taught them. When they arrived at Emmaus, he entered their house and revealed himself as the divine master. Those of us who go by the fourth way meet the master without recognizing him, and he teaches us. If we invite him into our house, or perhaps into our carriage, he will manifest himself to us. For this to happen, it is necessary that we should be at home, that is, present in ourselves. So that's her bedtime story for this week. And let us join together in praying aloud, which gives sensations wherever we are, the prayer of God's love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.